The title of my message is The Cross and the Life of Simon of Cyrene, taken from Matthew chapter 27, verse 32. As they were going out, they met a man from Cyrene named Simon, and they forced him to carry the cross. The city of Cyrene was an ancient Greek colony located on the northeastern coast of present-day Libya, where a large community of proselyte Jews lived. It was a great distance from Jerusalem, nearly 900 miles away, and those who made the long journey most likely made it only once in a lifetime. Because Cyrene was in Africa, some have thought Simon was a black man. It has been suggested that he is the same as Simon Niger in Acts chapter 13, verse 1, and that this may be another indication he was either a black man or of a dark complexion, since Niger means black. In addition to Simon's nationality and race, two of his sons are mentioned in Mark chapter 15, verse 21. We read, "A certain man from Cyrene, Simon, the father of Alexander and Rufus, was passing by on his way in from the country, and they forced him to carry the cross." Now, so some believe that Rufus, who appears later in Paul's letter to the Romans, Romans 16, verse 13, was the son of Simon from Cyrene. We read in Romans 16, verse 13, "Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother, who has been a mother to me too." Now, why was Simon visiting Jerusalem at this time? Well, Simon was probably there, like most Jews, for the annual feast of Passover. And Passover is called by some the Feast of Freedom, since it celebrates the exodus of the Israelites from bondage in Egypt, as we read in Exodus chapter 12, and memorializes the night when the faithful were protected by the blood of the Lamb, a clear picture of the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Now, upon his arrival in Jerusalem, Simon may have been confused to see the city in such an uproar. Multitudes traveled there every year, which would heighten everyone's excitement. But this time, the atmosphere was heavy with dissension. It was just only a few days before that Christ made his triumphant entry into Jerusalem on a colt. But now, the Lord Jesus Christ is leaving the city, his body battered and bruised, carrying an old rugged cross. By the time the procession gets to the city gate, Jesus apparently was having trouble carrying his cross. Christ was scourged twice by the soldiers, and it was an intense scourging. That should have killed the Lord Jesus Christ just by the scourging. But somehow we know the Lord's plan. He was to survive the scourging and the punishment and eventually go to the cross where he would be made sacrifice for the sins of his people. But I want you to think of the harsh reality of the Roman beating and punishment. It sometimes killed the criminal before he even got to the crucifixion. And he was scourged twice by the soldiers. Also realize and consider that he was up all night, the Lord Jesus. He had no rest, and he was weak and exhausted, having already lost much blood from his body. He may have fallen under the weight of the cross, or was just slowing the procession down so that the soldiers became very impatient and irate with the delay. Whatever the reason was, the soldiers looked around for someone to help him bear the cross. And they find Simon. The reason why this particular man was seized by the soldiers to help the Lord Jesus Christ is not known. We must bear in mind that Simon was not with that crowd on its way out to Calvary. He met the death procession as he was coming into the city from his country. We read about this in Luke chapter 23, verse 26. Listen to the words of Luke. "And as they led him away, they laid hold upon one Simon, a Cyrenian, coming out of the country, and on him they laid the cross, that he might bear it after Jesus. Perhaps the Roman soldiers seized Simon because he looked strong and was a good-sized man. You would have to be strong and fit to carry the cross. They weren't looking for a weakling. They were looking for someone perhaps who was strong. And perhaps this man, Simon, stood out because if he were black, he might have stood out from some of the other Caucasians and other races there. For a Roman soldier to bear the cross of a criminal was unthinkable. The soldier wouldn't help Christ. It just wasn't possible because they could not degrade themselves. So they looked for someone who could assist and help in the carrying of the cross. And to compel one of the Jews of the city to bear the cross would be sure to stir up more trouble. They had enough trouble on their hands to try to keep peace and order at this time. And to take a Jew from the city of Jerusalem would have caused even more problems. So as this man, Simon, was making his pilgrimage to Jerusalem, the soldiers chose him. They compelled him to go and help the Lord Jesus Christ carry his cross. And part of the degradation of the criminal was to bear his own cross, and to have to bear it for him was just as despiteful. But just imagine how Christ must have looked and how weak he must have been for the soldiers to feel that he needed someone to help him. He was really struggling. He had lost immense amounts of blood. So they chose this man, Simon of Cyrene. Perhaps this was the reason the Roman soldiers picked this stranger to Jerusalem. He too probably resented it at first as much as any other Jew. But at least he was visiting and traveling. So the lot fell to Simon. And the Roman soldiers compelled Simon to bear the cross. Now this word in the original for compel means to forcibly impress someone into service. Simon didn't want to do it. But the Roman soldiers went to Simon and had to physically arrest him and press him into this duty. An historian writes about how the Romans did this often to their conquering nations. In an occupied country, this was a grave and serious thing. Anyone could be impressed to carry the baggage of the army for a certain distance. Anyone could be compelled to perform any service the occupiers chose to lay upon him, such as providing a horse or acting as guide. And if they chose to not cooperate with the soldiers, it could result in death for them. This is what happened to Simon of Cyrene. This business of impressment was one of the bitterest and most constant humiliations that subject nations had to endure from the hands of the Romans. The Romans could just take anyone at their will and subject them to whatever they wanted them to do. And there could be no questions asked. They had to submit to the Roman soldier. And if not, penalty was death. The soldier could have killed him right then and there, no questions asked. And that was part of the impressment, historians call it. And this is what happened to Simon as he was going to celebrate the great feast of Passover in Jerusalem. Inhabiting but a single sentence in the Gospels, why did Simon of Cyrene bear the cross of Christ? And what can we learn from this incident in the Scriptures? How can we take what is taught here and apply it to our lives as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, there are four observations I'd like to make this morning from this life of Simon. And I trust that as you hear the Word of God, the Lord will speak to you, and you might see afresh the need for us to all go to the cross and spend some time there. Notice, first of all, the cross stopped Simon. The cross stopped Simon. Just in from the country where he came from, which was Africa, he was minding his own business when he saw the column on the way to Calvary. He stopped to see what it was all about. As was already pointed out, Simon was going to Jerusalem to celebrate the Feast of Passover. And it was a holy, solemn occasion. And can you imagine what he must have thought when he saw this crowd? And what he thought when he saw the Lord Jesus Christ battered and bruised, carrying that old rugged cross. Once he arrived at that city, he stopped and beheld a man carrying a cross on his way to be crucified. But it was not just any ordinary man. It was the perfect and peerless Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the cross stopped Simon, and it still stops sinners today. When we go to seek the Lord, when the Lord draws us to Himself, He draws us to the cross. The cross has a certain power in stopping sinners. The cross has a certain power in arresting us, if you will. And it doesn't matter what we were doing. It doesn't matter what occupation we were doing or where we were going. In my life and in your life, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ, there came a day where the cross stopped you in your life. The cross stopped what you were doing. And you stopped and you viewed the cross. There, for the first time in your life, you saw the crucified Son of God. There, for the first time in your life, everything else didn't matter. You met the Lord Jesus Christ, and the cross stopped you. And this was the kind of experience that Simon experienced. It stopped him. It arrested him. Nothing else was on his mind. Nothing else now mattered. It was all focused on this man who was carrying the cross. And the cross of Jesus Christ stops sinners today who are on the broad way leading to destruction. The cross of Jesus Christ stops sinners in their mad pursuit of sin. The cross of Jesus Christ stops sinners in serving and worshiping themselves. That's the only thing that can stop sinners. It's the cross. There's a power in the cross. There is an arresting in the cross that is irresistible. You're drawn to it. If God is drawing you to Christ, if God is drawing you to salvation, it's the cross that He uses to save your soul and to forgive you of your sins. It's the cross and no other thing. And that's what happened to this man, Simon. Did he expect this to happen? Was he willing to have this happen? No. And yet it did. And when God has His eye on a sinner, He goes after them. And by what means? By the cross of Jesus Christ. He arrests your heart. He arrests my heart. And we can relate somewhat to what Simon experienced. Because if you're truly born again, you're truly a child of God, you had that moment in your life. You had that experience of stopping. And after Christ stopped you, nothing else was ever the same. Your life changed forever, and we're going to look at that in just a moment. It stops sinners and points them to the crucified Lord. Religion can't stop sinners. Man can't stop sinners. They're bent on hell. They're on the broad way. The only thing that can save sinners is the cross of Jesus Christ. And thanks be to God, the cross stops the sinner in his madness. Have you stopped at the cross? And what do you see? You see what Simon saw. A man battered and bruised in pain, barely alive, staggering, hardly able to keep himself up, almost dead. For what reason? To die for the sins of His people. To show the love of God that passes all understanding. And when the cross stopped Simon, he saw a love that could never be seen in the world before or after. That love of God going after the lost. Have you stopped and trusted in the wonder-working power of the cross of Christ? When was the last time you had a time where you meditated on the cross? Where you stopped and viewed Christ in this way? When was the last time I had that experience, that encounter with the Lord? Sometimes it goes so long. It can be such a long season, such a long stretch of time goes by where I haven't had that experience afresh of my crucified Lord. And oh, that the Lord, oh my soul, would it rise up and see afresh the view that Simon saw. Oh, that the cross might stop me from sin. Oh, that the cross might stop me from backsliding and from becoming cold and indifferent and worldly. It's only the cross. Oh, that God might impress that upon all of our hearts today. And we might, that the cross might stop us today. Make us think. Make us meditate upon the crucified Lord. A.W. Tozer writes, "There must be a work of God in destruction before we're free. We must invite the cross to do its deadly work within us. We must bring our self-sins to the cross of judgment. And oh, for that grace and mercy to work in our hearts. We must bring our self-sins to the cross of judgment." When thinking about the cross, the Apostle Paul declares in Galatians 6, verse 14, "But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world." Oh, that the Lord Jesus might show us His cross afresh today, and it might cause us to stop and take time to meditate upon our Savior. Listen to the hymn, "At the cross, at the cross, at the cross, where I first saw the light and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I'm happy all the day." Oh, we need the Lord to use the cross to stop us, to speak to us, to minister to us. We need the cross to stop our friends and our family in their sins. We need the cross to show the sinner what it cost Christ to die on the cross for their sins. We need preaching of the cross today. We need our services to come in such solemnity that we go to the cross, not literally, but in a spiritual sense. We spend time at the cross meditating upon our Savior. That's what Simon experienced. The cross stopped him. Whatever he had planned for the day didn't matter. All that mattered was the cross. All that mattered was Christ crucified. It doesn't matter what tomorrow will bring. It doesn't matter what the week will bring. It matters now. Are we at the cross as God's people, thinking upon the love and the mercy of Christ to our souls? Oh, that God might give us a fresh visitation of the cross today. The cross stopped Simon, and it stopped sinners today. Let us consider, secondly, not only that the cross stopped Simon, but the cross called Simon. We read in Luke 23, verse 26, "And as they led him away, they laid hold upon one Simon, a Cyrenian, coming out of the country, and on him they laid the cross, that he might bear it after Jesus." That Jesus was feeble and unable to bear the cross alone. And the soldiers compelled Simon to help him. With his cross on his shoulder, Christ marches towards Golgotha. And when they see he can go no faster and further, the soldiers compel Simon, not out of compassion, but in indignation, to bear his cross. This Cyrenian, being a Gentile who bore Christ's cross, some think they thereby was signified that the Gentiles should have a part in Christ as well as the Jews and be sharers with them in the benefits of the cross. And I think that's a very valid insight into this. That who was he calling? He was calling a proselyte Jew. He was calling a Gentile to help him bear the cross. And I think that's significant. He was calling Gentiles. The cross calls all people, including Gentiles. At one time, it was almost exclusively Jews. You read in the Old Testament, they were the covenant people. They were the favored people of God. But the opportunity for the Gentile was always there. God never excluded a Gentile in the Old Testament. But in the New Testament, when Jesus Christ died on the cross, he opened up salvation freely, not just for the Jew, but for the Gentiles, for the whole world. And wouldn't it be fitting to see in Simon the picture of the Gentile coming to Christ? I think it's a very valid point that one commentator makes. And it gives us hope. It gives us joy. Because we're Gentiles. And when the day when Christ stopped us, when the cross stopped us, we didn't just stop there. The cross called us to come and take it up. When God is working the message of the cross on the heart of the sinner, it just doesn't stop with, well, I see it and I view it. I'm just going to go my merry way now. The cross draws you into the reality of the experience of Jesus Christ. The suffering, the pain, the sorrow, the travail, the turmoil. It all becomes real. It all becomes personal. See, before the cross called Simon, he was a spectator. He stopped and he saw it. But then the soldiers went after him, took him. And he then touched the cross. Then he carried the cross. And he felt the weight of the cross. He was experiencing for himself what Christ was going through. What Christ was enduring. Isn't that being conformed to the image of Christ? Isn't that being like Christ? Isn't that what God does to the sinner? The cross stops him, then he calls him. Because Christ says that he who follows me must take up his cross. And we see this embodied in this man, Simon. See, the cross of Christ does not call men to a life of ease and comfort, but of self-denial and sacrifice. A Bible scholar writes this: the new cross does not slay the sinner, it redirects him. It gears him into a cleaner and jollier way of living and saves his self-respect. Christ calls men to carry a cross. We call them to have fun in his name. We want to be saved, but we insist Christ do all the dying. No cross for us. No dethronement. No dying. We remain king within the little kingdom of man's soul and wear our tinsel crown with all the pride of a Caesar. But we doom ourselves to shadows and weakness and spiritual sterility. Oh, we read in Matthew chapter 16, verse 24, the words of Christ. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. That is, let him surrender to God his will, his affections, his body, and his soul. Let him become the property of God, not the property of self, not the property of the world, not the property of religion, but the property of God. That's what it means to take up your cross. You become the property of God. God owns you. And that's that surrender, that submission that comes upon every soul that the cross is calling. See, when we carry our cross, when we bear the cross of Jesus Christ, we're not seeking our own happiness as the supreme object. We're not seeking the pleasures of this world. We're seeking one object and one object alone, and that is the glory of God and the glory of Jesus Christ. John Wesley writes, crosses are so frequent in this life that whoever makes advantage of them will soon be a great gainer. Great crosses are occasions of great improvement. And the little ones, which come daily or even hourly, make up in number what they want in weight. We may in these daily and hourly crosses make effectual oblations of our will to God, which oblations so frequently repeated will soon amount to a great sum. We all carry crosses, my friend. Wesley acknowledges the reality that crosses are so frequent for all of us. And yet he has this very interesting insight and perspective that whosoever makes advantage of them will soon be a great gainer. In other words, he's saying that if the cross produces in us a closer walk with the Lord, if the cross is working that work of sanctification in our life and drawing us closer to the Lord, we're great gainers. It's to our advantage and to our good that we take our cross. Because doesn't that say and reflect the fact that we are more like our Savior? But the flesh recoils at the thought of taking up the cross. Just like Simon said, I am not going to carry the cross of Christ. He recoiled, he protested, he rebelled, and yet the soldiers came anyway and took him, and he laid hold on that cross. Know that the Lord Jesus Christ might get a hold of our hearts and take away any fleshly fears or any fleshly things that we're holding on to that is keeping us from going to the cross. Renounce them. Give them up. Repent. And by God's grace, go take up the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. See, we see in the life of Simon that he goes from being a spectator to a participant. The cross became real and personal to Simon. And that's the reality of it in the Christian life. Christ has not called us to be spectators. Christ has called us to be participants. He's called us to take up our cross and follow Him. We have too many spectators in the world today. And as I quoted from that one writer, we want Christ to do all the dying, but we're not willing to die. We're not willing to sacrifice. Oh God, get a heart of my own soul, my own heart. Die to sin. Crucify the flesh. Mortify that corruption that's within me. God, help me to do it. Don't let me hide behind the cross as an excuse for me not to take up my cross, but give me the diligence and the intensity and the reality. I must take up the cross. Because in order to do that, it's the only way I'm going to be like my Savior. It's only the grace of God that enables and empowers sinners to take up the cross and follow Christ. Are you bearing your cross today? Maybe you are going through a very difficult time. I don't know your hearts at this time. Maybe it's so hard. It's a secret struggle you have. It's a quiet trial. And you're not sharing with anybody. And you know you have a struggle. You have a dilemma. And you feel it's maybe overwhelming. You feel like it's crushing you. You need a Simon to come and help you. You need someone to come and encourage you. You need someone to come and help you maybe bear that burden. Oh, that the Lord might send a Simon our way if we feel like the burden is too great. And He might help us. Maybe a friend, a family member, the pastor, or brother or sister in the church. The Lord raises up Simons all the time, doesn't He? To help us bear our crosses. Oh, that the Lord might indeed give us that sense of listening to that call of the cross and take it to heart and bear it. The cross called Simon, and it calls every follower of Christ. But then thirdly, not only does the cross call us, not only does the cross stop us, but the cross releases Simon. The cross releases Simon. Simon carried the cross for a short distance and short time. It wasn't all the way to Golgotha. It was only for a very small distance and for only a short time. It was a temporary bearing of the cross. It was for a season. Simon wasn't going to the cross to die and be crucified. It was Jesus. That was his destiny. That was his purpose. That was the object of redemption. Simon couldn't go to the cross and be crucified because he couldn't take away the sins of the world. It had to be Jesus. Jesus had to pay for it all. And yet we see in this man, Simon, I think a realistic picture of what the believer has to endure in this life. A temporary cross, bear crossing. It doesn't last. When you look at the big picture, it doesn't last very long. Paul gives the proper perspective of this releasing of the cross in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 17. Paul says, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding internal weight of glory." See, Paul saw his light afflictions. You want to hear some of Paul's light afflictions? Listen to some of his light afflictions in 2 Corinthians 11. "Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one." And that didn't strike me before. 5 times Paul was beaten and received and whipped and received stripes 39 times. "Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. And journeyings often. And perils of waters. And perils of robbers. And perils by my own countrymen. And perils by the heathen. And perils in the city. And perils in the wilderness. And perils in the sea. And perils among false brethren. In weariness and painfulness." Again, these are light afflictions. "In watchings often, and hunger and thirst, and fasting often, and cold and nakedness, besides those things which that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches." He calls them his light afflictions. And what are our afflictions when you compare them to the Apostle Paul? And yet Paul had the proper perspective. He knew that the afflictions, the trials, would only endure for a season. And that the cross-bearing would come to an end. One day, brethren, your cross-bearing is going to come to an end. You're going to put down the cross and you're going to be in heaven forevermore with the Lord. The Lord's going to wipe away all of your tears. The Lord's going to make your hearts rejoice because forevermore you'll be in the presence of Almighty God. And all of those afflictions that we've gone through on this earth will be behind us. They will never be brought up before us again in our memories. They'll all be forgotten. And when Simon was released from that cross, you could say, what a picture that is of the child of God when he goes on to be with the Lord in glory. We're going to be released from that burden ever to be with the Lord. One day we will be released from bearing our crosses and the Lord will wipe away every tear from our eyes in heaven. But the Lord Jesus had no such prospect. He had to go all the way to the end. He had to endure an equivalent of eternity in hell for his people on the cross. You could say that Christ wasn't released until it was finished. Until God was satisfied with his offering. And isn't that an underscore of the love of Jesus Christ, that he finished the race, that the joy that was set before him, he finished, he completed, he went to the cross, even in that state when he could hardly stand up, even when he couldn't bear the cross any longer, he went to the cross, finished that course, and we today have the great joy and hope that our sins are forgiven because of the work and person of Jesus Christ. And yet we see in this man, Simon, a picture of the believer that one day we will be released from bearing our crosses. And then fourthly, the cross changed Simon. You know, Simon was coming into Jerusalem and the Lord was going out. And what we're being told in Mark 15 was that Simon, who was walking in that city, suddenly found himself turned around at the instructions of the centurion and finds his life walking in exactly the opposite direction. And for Simon, meaning the crucified Christ, was to turn his life completely around. And when we go to the cross, we're never the same people. We're changed forevermore. The cross changes us. Transforms us. It makes us into new creatures. His experience of meeting the Lord would utterly change his life to walk in the opposite direction, following in the footsteps of Christ himself. Simon was going into the city, and yet when the cross got a hold of him, he turned around and went the opposite direction. His life was changed. His direction was changed. His perspective was changed. Everything had changed in the life of Simon. And isn't that the testimony of the child of God? We do an about face. And whereas we were walking according to the course of this world, as we were walking down the road of destruction, God, through the cross, got a hold of us and changed that direction. And now we're not headed to the lake of fire. Now we're headed to the celestial city where we'll be with the Lord forevermore. It's at the cross of Christ that our sinfulness and God's love collide. The cross is about change. It's about transformation. It's about something old being broken and something new coming into being. An old way of trying to live shattered and a new way of receiving life coming into existence in the power and grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. See, the cross changes everything. And it can change everyone. And that's why we preach Christ crucified. That's why the message of the cross is central to any gospel preaching ministry. Because that's the only thing that can change. That's the only thing that can save. That's the only message worth preaching. The preaching of the cross. It changed Simon. And it continues to change sinners to this very day. Oh, that the Lord might work that change in our midst. That we might see someone this year come to know Christ. That someone might be converted. That someone might call out to God, "What must I do to be saved?" The cross has to be preached. The cross has to be presented. And that this year, oh, that the Lord might save in the preaching of the cross of Jesus Christ in this church and in all of our churches. That the cross might be the attraction, that the cross might be the power that draws sinners out of darkness into the light of God. In closing, the cross of Christ stopped Simon, it called Simon, and it released Simon. It most importantly changed Simon's heart. Oh, may the Lord give us a fresh view of the cross this day. Oh, that the cross might change our hearts, and that it might give us more of a love for the crucified Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Oh, gracious Father in heaven, we thank you that you've brought us to the cross today. We see through the eyes of Simon, Lord, the power of the cross. How it was providential that Simon was going into the city just at the right time. When Christ was being led to the cross, and he was there at the right time, at the right moment, the soldiers picked him to go and help bear the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, you do that in salvation. You providentially work. It's not a coincidence that Simon was there. It wasn't by luck that he was there. It was all foreordained. It was all providential that at that moment, at that very time, Simon would stop and be called by the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh Lord, help us to realize that God has a plan and purpose in our lives and that our salvation was not by chance, but that it was providentially ordained, that it was planned before the foundation of the world. Help us, Lord, to have a greater solemnity, a greater respect and reverence for the cross of Christ. And Lord, help us to walk away like Simon did that day, a changed man, a man who undoubtedly got converted and saved and went on to serve the Lord. We even see this in his sons, how they went on to be with the Lord. And Lord, I ask thee that thou would bless us now and help us, Lord, to meditate on this word. Let this word not leak out of our hearts. But Lord, help us to hide it in our hearts that we might not sin against thee. We give you all the glory and praise this day. In Jesus' precious name, amen.